Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Friday. So, so we're talking through this interview that was given last night. And like I said, I'll be honest, if you love Kamala, you're somewhat relieved, but you're not overjoyed. And if you can't stand Kamala, you're like, wow, meh, but you're not sitting there, you know, just thinking that she just like had another one of those Biden collapse at the debate moments. But let's talk with somebody else who's got some opinions. He's pretty good at registering his opinions. That may be my friend Scott Buttram, who is the publisher of the much-vaunted Trustful Tribune. Scotticus, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you today?
I'm good. Are you ready for True Football Weekend to kick off?
You have no idea how ready I am. I'm a little disappointed, you know, to open the season with Weeping Sisters of the Poor. But I prefer a big game to open the year, but I'm just ready to see our guys play.
Well, listen, all the talk about the brand spanking new version of the SEC and everything else, we'll see how it goes. All I know is I'm an Auburn fan, and we're opening with Alabama A&M, so whoop, we'll see what happens.
Hey, Phil, as Alabama and Auburn fans, we've watched them come and go for decades, man.
it's like politics. It all goes in cycles.
That's right.
Well, speaking of politics, my man, let's talk about last night's interview with Kamala. I know you've seen it, and give me your upfront impressions before I poison the well too much. What are you thinking?
Well, and you know, I don't like to get in too much to the personal side of it, because I really think staying focused on the substance of that interview and what she had to say is the key. But the first thing that struck me was she looked haggard. She looked physically tired to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure why, because this has been pretty much the biggest do-nothing campaign I've ever seen. I mean, show up, read from a teleprompter, get in the car without talking to anybody. But she really did look physically worn down to me already.
I noticed that. Part of it, I think, was bad lighting. And the other part was, I think, she's just very tired. I mean, she looked like she had aged in the last few weeks.
She did to me, too. She came across to me, it was apparent to me that she was very well rehearsed on the answers that she was given, and that they had really planned for her to avoid policy definitive statements, which she did. But what she alluded to was she hasn't changed her views on anything.
Yeah.
She's trying to play the game with fracking. If the people of Pennsylvania buy that, they deserve everything that happens to their industry.
Well, listen, in fact, somewhere in the mix there, I think it was in that same piece of the discussion about fracking and all of it, she made the statement, "My values have not changed." She was asked why she had some changes in her policy positions. She said, "My values have not changed." And my thought was, wait a minute, what you just said was you don't base your policy positions upon principle. You base upon whatever's needed at the time. And that's not what we need in a president.
That's correct. And she doubled down on her commitment to the Green New Deal, just to remind our listeners, and I think your listeners are probably some of the most educated in Alabama, but just as a refresher course, folks, the commitment to the Green New Deal by the Biden administration is exactly what jacked up your gas prices.
Oh, man.
It was the key to everything. Once fuel cost goes up, that triggered everything else in inflation that we're living with on a daily basis every time we gas up our car and every time we go to the grocery store. So she sat there and said to America, "I'm sorry you're suffering." Actually, she didn't say, "I'm sorry." She just said, "I know you're suffering. Screw you. I'm sticking with the Green New Deal."
Yeah. And then there's border. I've got a story here. This next came from Yellowhammer News, but Senator Katie Britt from Alabama is talking about the fact that apparently Axios has reported this week that Kamala Harris pledges now to spend hundreds of millions of dollars building a wall on the southern border. And and Katie Britt's response was she's going to be wearing a MAGA hat in her next ad.
I mean, you know, I've been watching this entire campaign since she was hand chosen as the Democrat nominee. And it has been comical. she is literally running as Donald Trump while saying the country doesn't need Donald Trump again.
Yeah, she also said at one point, and we haven't even gotten to this clip yet, and I've been playing clips since before you came on, but there's one place in there where she basically says it's time to turn the page on the last decade. Never mind the fact that in the last decade, she's been the vice president for a third of that time.
Well, and all the things she plans to fix on day one that she broke on her last day one, that's been kind of comical. I'm just waiting on one of these interviewers, and we're not going to see it, to say, Vice President, why didn't you do it on day one in 2020? We've been, our citizens have been struggling to make ends meet. They're putting necessities on their credit card to get to the end of the month. If you can fix it on January 2025, day one, why couldn't you fix it January 2020, day one, when you're actually the one who broke it?
Yeah, or for that matter, if you can fix it then, just go ahead and fix it now, please. Why wait? Run on a success.
Right.
Don't run on a could-be. Run on a did.
That's it. And I think it was you or somebody posted earlier, maybe it was Jay Town, I saw him on social media, that tweeted out, that she thinks you're stupid. She thinks we're all stupid. I don't know how insulting that is to Democrat voters, but I think it's going to be pretty insulting to the moderate voters, the independent voters.
I think
that's who they both candidates should be watching, because that's going to be who decides it. It's going to be the independent voters in the middle. I don't think they're buying the Democrats' story. I don't think they're buying it.
I don't either, and I think that the polls are starting to reflect that. There's the most recent poll, I think it was a Fox poll, that said that Trump has pulled back ahead again. But there's no doubt it's a close race. I mean, I'm not trying to say we've got this. I mean, let's run like scalded dogs all the way to the time this is done.
You better know it.
But let me ask you something. You just said you think that of course we do have a very intelligent audience. Thank you very much. And you also made mention of whether or not there are people out there that are buying what she's selling. What do you think about those who are already in love with her and desperate to find some hope in her candidacy since they just got rid of Biden? Did they love last night's interview? Because I'll be honest with you and I are both conservative Republicans. We can pick it apart all day long. How about the people who are her fans? Did they have anything to love in there?
I think they're already encouraged because she's not Joe Biden.
Yeah.
And the sycophants are not going anywhere. They're going to support the liberal cause through thick and thin. It doesn't really matter what it does to them or does to the country or does to their neighbors. They're committed to that liberal cause. So they're going to be unswayed. Here's my concern. When Biden was at the top of the ticket, I think a lot of those people, and I don't think, first of all, I don't think any of them would have crossed over and voted for Trump under any circumstances.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them may have stayed home. I do think Kamala Harris is being at the head of the ticket is more encouraging to those people that may have stayed home to get out and vote. We've got to be aware of that. And as you said, Trump can't take this for granted.
No.
He's going to win it. That's my opinion. But he has to fight every day like it's his last. He's got to take it. He's got to take it all the way to the final horn. I think he will do that. The other thing he's got to do is not let himself get drawn into the petty stuff.
Yeah.
Zeroed in on what Americans are facing every day. You got to fill up your gas tank every single week. You got to buy groceries and feed your family every single week. That is what Donald Trump needs to stay focused on. And if he does, then he's going to be in good shape. But if he starts moving off track, he opens the door for her.
Yeah.
And I'm going to
policy
Donald
Trump. Policy Trump is always the better version. I mean, policy Trump always does better than mean tweet Trump.
And Trump is not going to be swayed by liberal pundits yelling about him picking on Kamala Harris. He'll keep right on doing it. It's got to be the Trump supporters that help keep him on track.
Yeah.
He's got to hear it from his own people. And I'm talking not his handlers. I'm talking about rank-and-file voters out there. When they see him veer off and go to the petty stuff, he needs to hear from them. Come back to the policy. Win this thing.
Yeah.
And if he does that, I think he's going to win it because people, Americans, are being punched in the face every single week when they stop at a gas station and buy groceries. He's got to keep them focused on that, and they don't want that anymore.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also think that the border is a close second to the economy right now, especially with all the things we're seeing about crime and everything else related to illegal immigrants. Hey, let me ask you this. One more quick question. We got about a minute and a half left. Back on the interview again, I thought it was interesting that it was pre-recorded, edited, and only lasted 18 minutes. Makes you wonder what they did cut out.
It was nothing. Phil, that was the biggest disappointment. Probably the highlight of the interview was Dana Bash just gushing over sitting in front of Kamala Harris. There was no interest. As I watched it, I kept waiting for something that would mean something. And she is the queen of talking without saying anything.
Yeah.
So that's ultimately all we got. I don't think we're going to see anything more drawn out from her until the debate. And I hope whoever is preparing Donald Trump is really good at this, because if he's properly prepared, he can pull a lot of this out of her. But if I'm preparing him, I'm using her old audio clips when she stated her position, and I'm hammering her with it all night long.
I'm saying. All right. Well, listen, I knew you'd have commentary, and you did. You did not disappoint. My friend Scott, thank you so much for your time. Trustful Tribune's where they can find you, and we'll have you back on again sometime soon.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate you, man.
See you now. That's Scott Buttram, the publisher of the Trustful Tribune. And by the way, one of my my op-ed runs in the Trustful Tribune every Tuesday, as a matter of fact. So, all right, Big Rig, take it to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We'll come right back. I got another clip you're going to want to hear. What did she say about Bidenomics? Was it successful? Wow. Okay. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.